Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Prepare to be astonished.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
What up, biatch?
Hey, how are you? Oh, man, what a nice welcome that was.
Is that a nice welcome?
Yeah.
How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Good to see you. You're looking very Tom Cruise-y today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you had the Wayfarers coming in.
Right.
And you can pull it off, I tell you.
That's good.
I can't do that. I wear those glasses with my nose. I look like a gay cockatiel. Just like, because I got the B. Arthur hair, too.
Oh,
my hair is too long.
Golden girls.
My gray, I do. I've golden. Don't help me.
Okay? No, that's good hair. I like it.
I'm starting to feel like Rod Stewart's lesbian aunt is what I think I look like now. But
and I've met her.
And you have.
You do.
Yeah. You met Shirley? Like
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
Before we get started, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Damn Yankees is the story of Joe Boyd, an aging, diehard Washington Senators baseball fan who will do anything for the Senators to beat the damn New York Yankees and win the pennant. When he accepts a deal on the Senators' behalf in exchange for his soul, he has turned into Joe Hardy, the greatest baseball player ever, and leads the woeful Senators into a wild and woolly pennant race. Colorful characters abound, including a 172-year-old seductress, a hapless manager, a nosy female reporter, crazed fans, and the devil himself. As Joe leads the team toward an unlikely championship, he learns that winning truly isn't everything.
That's right. But Cabrillo Music Theater kicks off the 2015-2016 season with a brand new production of this American classic. Winner of 11 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Damn Yankees is sure to be a home run hit, with a book by George Abbott and Douglas Wallop, and music and lyrics by Richard Adler and Jerry Ross. This ever-popular baseball musical includes favorite songs such as Heart, Whatever Lola Wants, Lola Gets, and A Man Doesn't Know, among many others. Damn Yankees opens Friday, October 16th, at the 1,800-seat beautiful Fred Cavalli Theater at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, and today we are joined by two of the stars of this production. Please welcome Renee Marino and Travis Leland.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hello.
Thank you.
Good to have both of you here.
It's good to be
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Now, Travis, we've had you on before.
Yes.
You were here for LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Yeah, I thought you'd never have me back, honestly.
Well, you know, we prepared the furniture, and you were acquitted after all. You fixed the window, too.
Yeah, that was exactly. Nice, yeah.
Before we talk to Renee and Travis.
But the lovely Renee we haven't had on the show before.
That's right, but we've been trying to get her.
But we've talked about her when John Lloyd Young was here.
Yes, we did.
And didn't go well. Anyway. I'm kidding.
I don't believe
you. No. You know he's coming back for his 7th headlining engagement.
Wow. Is he really? Good for him.
Sells out in about 30 to 40 minutes every single time we announce
it. I know. I was there when he performed at Sterling's. That was months ago. And it was so great to walk up and see all of those fans sitting outside for hours.
They've been
in
there.
In the hot sun.
They get there at 7 a.m.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Yeah,
so good for him.
I get the same thing, you know. I get the same thing, yes.
I saw them outside.
No, it's because I work at the methadone clinic. Anyway.
Oh, my. We're going there so early.
Sorry. So, before we talk with these two lovely people, Michael, how was your week?
You know, so terrific. I mean, just, getting the Addams Family open with the beautiful Rachel York and Bronson Pinchot, who we all remember from Perfect
Strangers.
Is that
how you say it?
Yes.
Bronson Pinchot. Okay. I'm just curious.
And he more recently had a reality TV series restoring old Victorian houses in another part of the country, which he has a penchant for doing that. So that
Bronchot has a penchant.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. He'd like to hear you say that. And anyhow, this morning I was very pleased because we have a big splash in the L.A. Times today about the show.
Oh, really?
So, yes, on some beautiful artwork that we created on Bronson and Rachel as Gomez and Morticia Adams.
Great.
It's so cool.
So,
very cool.
Yeah. It opens coming up here on the 10th.
Great.
Of October. Yes, good indeed. So that's what my primary focus is right now. And then closing Welcome to My World, the Bruce Kimmel World Premiere Musical.
Oh, yes.
That has done very, very well.
Beautiful.
And was extended through October 4th.
The one-woman musical.
Yeah, one girl.
One girl musical.
One girl
yes.
musical.
Yes.
Wonderful reviews and such a lovely girl she is.
Cool.
Yeah. So Hunter Parrish, you know who that is?
I don't.
Hunter Parrish is kind of a...
from Weeds. And,
yeah, he's kind of a teen kind of idol kind of guy, and he showed up at the theater.
Can't imagine why I wouldn't know who he was.
He showed up at the theater last Sunday. And lo and behold, no one knew that Sammy Stateman, the star of the show, this was her go-to teen idol.
No way.
Oh, wow.
And he just happened to come. He and his wife, they saw the advertisement, and they brought their child. And it's kind of geared for 14-year-olds and what 14-year-old girls go through, and which is very eloquently expressed.
Oh, beautiful.
So there's a part of the show where she has to go out in the audience and pick somebody to come up on stage, and he was sitting there. He was kind of
and she didn't know?
He had his hat down kind of over the top of his forehead, and he was just kind of slouched down in his chair a little bit, and she happened to choose him. And
he got up. Always meant to be.
And he took off the hat, and she...
Just
yeah!
Wow!
Hey, what happened?
There you go.
Wow.
So anyhow, that was my week, kind of in a nutshell.
All right.
And you, sir?
We had a good week. Well, a good week for the show. We closed August Osage County out at the theater.
Yes, and congratulations on all the ovation
nominations.
And four
ovation nominations. We got Best Show, Large Theater.
Yes.
So we're
awesome.
With the big boys on that. Of course, the Theatricum is a very well-established theater, which is wonderful. And Mary Jo Dupree, who it turns out to be a mutual friend of Travis and mine.
She's a lovely lady. She's a director.
Who directed. She was nominated for Best Direction. And then two acting ones for Ellen Gere and for Melora Marshall for lead and featured. So, it's very exciting. So we're going to go to the ovation this year, and set the Amundsen, which will be a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Good. Did you get your tickets already?
No, because I've sort of taken the lead on corralling everybody so we could sit together.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to buy all the tickets at
once. Oh, good.
And if you buy them early, I should do a little pitch for the ovations here. It's 30. If you get more than 10 people, it's $35 a ticket. If you don't get more than 10 people, it's $50 on the early bird, and then if it's after October 16th, it goes up to $75 and then $100.
Oh, my goodness.
So the $35 a ticket is quite the deal.
Yeah. Well,
so call before midnight tonight.
You should go.
You'll get the oven mitt.
You should go into group sales.
I should, shouldn't I? All right. Well, we've kept these people waiting long enough. Our first guest made her film debut playing Mary Delgado in the hit movie musical Jersey Boys, directed by Clint Eastwood, as well as her TV debut as Regina in Fox's Weird Loners. Is that it? Loners?
Yes.
Previously, she was seen on Broadway as Mary Delgado in Jersey Boys, Rosalia in West Side Story, and ensemble in both Chaplin and Wonderland, along with several national tours, including Jersey Boys, Cats, and Disney's High School Musical. Please welcome Renee with a apostrophe over the second E. Marino is with us here today, and as soon as I get my little applause soundbite, she will get it.
There you go.
There we go. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to
Renee,
have you.
You are just one of those people, and I told you earlier that I am married, so I'm not being a creepy old guy about this. But you are just one of those beautiful, you are an effortlessly beautiful lady. Effervescent and very natural looking and very... Isn't she lovely?
I
don't talk about this on the show.
No, you
know me. Seriously, I don't compliment people on their appearance.
You guys should see her sweating during dance rehearsals, though.
That's
another story.
This chick will sweat her nose.
No idea. Her nose.
We have a story to tell you later,
Michael. You see
Thank
what you missed?
Thank you miss? So much. That is so sweet of you to say.
You're
Thank
so
you.
Lovely and so talented.
It's true. You know, we call them as we see them, right?
We do. Yeah. And we're out of time.
You guys, I'll come every week just for that.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So what is it? First show at Cabrillo.
first show at Cabrillo, first show in California on stage. It's like so exciting for me.
Are you showing California on stage? Really?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I am.
Are you rehearsing the show at that Hillcrest Art Center?
Yep.
Which is such a joy because they actually have the amount of space that they have on the stage that they can tape the whole thing out, which might be might be common in New York, but out here it's really the exception.
Yeah. Oh, really? Exactly. See, yeah, in New York we often do that or as close to it as we can get. Right. But this space is great. It's such a good rehearsal spot.
And it's lovely out there, too. I was actually there one day. I was going to pop my head and see you guys, but I was seeing She Loves Me right down the hall.
Yes, we were right next door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Hillcrest?
Lewis came out and said hello, huh?
You were at Hillcrest?
I was.
Because they do shows there, too, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a pretty cool 99. Is it 99 seats or a little bit bigger than 99 seats? Theater.
I think it's
a theater.
Under,
Yeah.
Oh, wait, maybe it's more. Yeah, maybe it's more.
I think it's a little more. It looks like it's more, but it's very industrial looking and it's pretty cool. It's and it was sold out when I was there. So.
Yeah. So now, but Lewis is not directing this one.
No.
Okay.
He's not.
He's not.
No.
But you know, you've met Lewis, and he's one of the, obviously the producer, because he's still artistic director.
He's so wonderful. Isn't he one of the nicest men? One of the nicest people, number one. Number two, he is so organized, so on it. He just has everything taken care of before you even, walk in the room.
It astounds me. Someone like Lewis Wilkenfeld, who wears so many hats, and yet I've never seen the guy rattled.
No.
We did Mary Poppins two shows ago with them. I did Mary Poppins with them. And a week into it, the entire cast was hit with stomach flu. And it's a short, rehearsal process, not especially long. And just the way he kept everyone's spirits up and, it was literally 80% of the cast just... Three rehearsals canceled and all that. But he's just such a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. It's Kirsten Chandler who is directing the show. It's a lovely a woman, not only as a performer herself, but also as a director. So that's kind of cool. And John Todd doing the choreography.
Oh,
man.
He's incredible.
He's awesome.
Were you familiar with Damn Yankees before this?
Yes, I was. It's actually one of my favorite musicals. And always said I wanted to perform the role of Lola professionally one day after I did it as a senior in high school. Yes, I did.
You did.
I did. And funny enough, in New Jersey, you guys... I'm sure you know about this. They have the Paper Mill Playhouse Rising Star Awards. So I got nominated as Best Leading Actress when I was a senior.
Really?
I never won. I was like Susan Lucci of high school students. But it was just the best experience. And I was like always like, oh, I want to play Lola again. I want to play Lola again. So when this opportunity came up, I was like, yes. And I hadn't been on stage, in a musical and, 2.5 years now.
Why is that, though? I mean, you're here. You're so talented. Who wouldn't want you in their show?
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm really coming back here tomorrow, I think. Once I got out here, I was out here originally for the film.
Right.
And that was towards the end of 2013. Came back out in January of 2014 for pilot season because I figured, I've never been... in L.A. as far as performer auditioning. So let me get my feet wet before the film comes out, start meeting casting directors and get myself out there. And that's what I did. I was auditioning for tons of pilots and, my agent had me going, into different casting offices and just doing go-sees. So I was really focusing on that and, with the film, just doing a lot of events and whatnot. And then I went back home to New Jersey to get married. In that same summer.
To a good-looking guy. I saw your husband there on your Facebook
He's a great guy, yeah.
Well, we have him right here.
This is your
Michael,
wife,
come on out.
And is he a performer as well?
He is not. He is a businessman who owns his own vodka company called Devotion Vodka.
Devotion Vodka?
The first sugar-free, gluten-free vodka, sold at all the Whole Foods. So
really?
It's pretty great. I love actually being with someone who's not in the
business.
Does
it still get you?
But understand. It's 80 proof. It sure does.
I don't understand, though. How do you have a sugar-free vodka when alcohol is, by definition, a sugar?
Well, they have six flavors.
Okay.
The flavors have no sugar added. So most companies add sugar at the end as a soothing agent. Gotcha. They do not.
Okay. Sorry, I don't want to start talking about
it. No, it's okay. That's for anyway, you, babe.
Back
love
to
you.
The booze.
Yay, Devotion Vodka. Okay.
Devotion Vodka.
Yes.
Okay.
Go get it. So I've just been out here, you know, just really focusing on TV film because that's why I came out here. But, I mean, once this opportunity came up, I was like, I have to. Yeah. And the first day of rehearsal, John Todd, who's an incredible choreographer, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. The first like 10 minutes I was at rehearsal and I was like, it was kind of like an out of body experience because I hadn't been in that situation, you know, like on like at the rehearsal and, you know, learning things quick and just dancing and sweating. And I was like, oh my God, I used to be doing this every day. Like I had to like fall back into it. But once I did, I was like, It's nice to be back.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you're not, I mean, there are, maybe on two hands, can you count the theaters out here? Cabrillo Music Theater, of course, 3D Theatricals, right. The Pantages, the Amundsen. There aren't like Broadway-sized houses.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's just like going home in that regard,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the Cabrillo is probably, the Fred Cavalier is probably bigger than a lot of Broadway
houses. No, it is. And you know, it's funny, when I went to go see Oklahoma at Cabrillo, I went back.
Where the wind goes sweeping down the plane?
Yes, okay. They were.
At Oklahoma.
I went backstage and I automatically got taken back to my touring days, you know, doing national tours. It felt like, because some of the, you know, houses we'd be in on tour were like the most beautiful, big, elaborate houses. And I walked backstage and I was like, oh my goodness.
All those Fox theaters.
Yeah. All the Fox theaters, exactly. So that's what it kind of felt like. So I was like, oh, I can't wait to be here.
See, that's what happens when you do, when you're in a big production like that. When you tour, as I did for 9 years with a one-person show and you play the smaller venues, it ain't really that kind of hug from Jesus, you know. And you're at a Waffle House with a waitress with fresh stitches in her head. You know, it's like, he said I was a fool to dream.
You know you've been on tour long as well when you look forward to a Waffle House. When you're
I know,
like,
exactly.
Oh, a Waffle House is here. Woo!
Exactly. Yeah, because you started another Denny's.
How did you and your husband meet, since he wasn't from your world?
Yeah, we are from the same
town. She's an
town.
Alcoholic.
Vodka is her choice of drink.
We actually, our families have known each other our whole lives. We're both from Linden, New Jersey, and he is the oldest of three. His youngest sister and I grew up dancing together. So his mother used to come watch me in all, you know, the shows I did as a little girl. She remembers me playing Annie. And then my brother played Little League, and Michael's father was his coach. It's just so crazy how it all ties in. And then fast forward, you know, years later, both he and I and our families were like the two people who kind of ventured out, you know. With his last job, he was all over the world. I was touring, you know, in New York. It's just so funny how we end up back with someone from our hometown.
And you never dated when you were younger or anything?
No. Wow. He was always in my mind, like, he's 5 years older than me. But, you know, I'll never forget, like, being at church with my mom one Sunday and her being like, when I was a young girl, her being like, oh, there's the Kalea family. Oh, that's Michael. He's the oldest brother. He's a really good baseball player because in college he, like, made it to the minors for a little bit. But I just remember, like, hearing that, like, oh, Michael, he's a good baseball player. But, like, that's all I knew of him. We didn't go to high school together. So then, you know, back in, like, 2011, I was at home the night before Thanksgiving, and my best friend and I went out to, like, a lounge in our town, and he was there and had just started the company. And he was like, you guys have to try some Devotion. So I was like, okay. So I try it. Great. And then he swears he, like, came back to look for me that night. And I was like, really? I didn't even, like, sense anything. Like, I didn't even know if you were that nice. So then that summer, my older brother saw him at the beach, came home and was like, oh, I saw Mike and Amy, and the rest was history.
Really? I had no idea what I was going. Just needed something to punctuate that. That's so wonderful, though. Yeah. It's how cool is that?
Yeah, and he's the most supportive human being I could ever, you know, ask for. He moved out here with me when I, you know, did the film, and you know, then that's when I made the decision. Like, now I want to focus on TV film, so we both moved out here, and, I mean, it's great. He, you know, sponsors so many events, all the Actors Fund events, the Tony parties,
fantastic.
The Oscar parties. So it's nice that our businesses actually mold
together.
Was
he with you at the Actors Fund?
Yes, he was.
I didn't get to meet him.
You have to meet. I can't believe you haven't met him. They're the official sponsor for the Tony party. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And you know, interestingly enough, a little synergy here, Travis being from LA's Next Great Stage Star, And Renee being a very good friend of Marissa Haddad, who was the first ever winner of LA's Next Great Stage Dive.
Oh, really?
And Marissa.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And she went on to have her professional life in Jersey Boys, first in the Chicago company, and then to Las Vegas.
She did Vegas for a little bit.
Did she do the tour?
I don't know.
No, she didn't do the tour, but then she did Broadway.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been her go-to show for all of these years.
You know,
and then she meets a guy like Renee's husband, and he's also good-looking.
Yeah.
And their parents are from the same town, and he's a doctor.
I tell you, it's
he was taking her to
how...
Paris for the weekend for dinner, out of New York, and all that stuff. It was been a lovely love affair. So
when it's meant to be, right?
I really believe that.
It's exactly. That's the only logical explanation.
How did you know each other, though, you and Marissa?
Just through Jersey Boys.
She played your role.
Yeah, she played the role. After me. She started after me. And, you know, it's just like a family. It's almost like, the show's been around 10 years now. So it's like, we call it the Jersey Boys family. Like, it's actually 10 years this year. So it's so great because I meet people all the time, even out here. You know, you think, oh, you're all the way out in LA now. Like, you know, you're so far away from New York. But out here, it's like, you're Renee, you're from Jersey Boys. I did Jersey Boys in this company and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's so funny, yeah.
Well, like we're talking about that I have a friend that I went to high school, to college with, Greg Burton, who's been working on Jersey Boys the entire time that it's been on Broadway. And his wife, Erin, has been in Phantom for like 18 years because she still looks like she's, you know, 20 years old and she's a great dancer. But it's just the tendrils of those families and all the crossover of those creative people. And, you know, the bonding, too. When you're on
it's
the road
such a
with
blessing,
someone,
yeah.
You know, I that's when I realized why people have entourages. When I was on the road as by myself.
That's why I do.
But all kidding aside, because when you're on the road by yourself, that's a busman's tour of hell. When you're by yourself.
I can't imagine.
And to just have a four or five people with you that are, you know, it's sort of, you're just bringing your world with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important, especially when you're away from home.
Well, I'll go out with you next time.
Well, yeah.
I'll be your one-man entourage.
Your wingman. Yeah, it'll be. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Lovely. See what we learned here, ladies and gentlemen, on the State of the Arts? So much. So much.
Renee, what did you, when you went back to audition for a musical after not having done it, when someone like you, so established and such great credits, was there any sort of trepidation about doing it? Or is just like, am I going to be rusty? Or did you love the material so much that just sort of empowered you?
Well, funny you ask. The situation for Damn Yankees went like this. So I was, for the past 2 years, a guest performer and presenter at the Jerry Herman Awards, which is here in L.A.
At
the Pantages. And this year, they always ask me to choose a song that I did, like, from one of the musicals I did in high school. So what did I choose? A Little Brains, A Little Talent from Damn Yankees. Funny enough, who's in the audience? Lewis Wilkenfeld. And he sees me perform it, and then we see each other at the Actors Fund Tony Award party, and he tells me that they're doing Damn Yankees at Cabrillo, you know, they're looking for a Lola, and I was like, really? And then, this has never happened to me, so this is pretty cool. I actually didn't formally go in an audition. I sent, you know, for John and Kirsten, so they could see what I, you know, do. I sent some videos, and that was it. And then Lewis called my manager and my agent and said that they would like me to play the role. And I was like, woohoo!
Oh, wow.
I feel so cool. I never had one of those direct books before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
very nice.
And so it was funny. The first day of rehearsal, you know, John and Kirsten and myself, we were talking. They're like, this is great. You're great. We didn't really get to see you at auditions, so like to see you in person.
You know, that's a very unusual world
very,
to be in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I had to audition for Mary Poppins, and oddly enough, give Lewis a foot massage. Which I found off-putting.
A little off-putting.
But, so I got the role.
And what a role.
And what a role.
I actually got two roles.
Yes.
Oh, we heard all about it.
We talked about the magic that was Poseidon. But we have to do our arts calendar now, Michael.
Okay.
Funny how that just came
Let's
about, isn't it?
Let's just do that, okay? So
all
why
right.
don't you kick off the
I
arts
will,
calendar,
indeed.
Will.
A legendary off-Broadway and international hit comedy inspires the world premiere sequel El Grande Circus de Coca-Cola, introduced to Los Angeles at the Skylight Theater. The original El Grande de Coca-Cola, Critics' Choice LA Times 2013, has been produced around the country in South America and Europe, garnering accolades and fans throughout the world. Flush with the imagined success of his nightclub floor show, El Grande Maestro de Show Business, Pepe Hernandez, ups the... I'm reading this just like it's written, Paul. Ante.
You should have read it before.
Exactly. Ups the ante and sets his sights on international fame with his star-studded traveling circus, bringing the hysterically funny troupe to their first stop of the world tour, Hollywood. Penned by one of the original writers, Ron House, and directed by Alan Sherman, winner of 5 Best Director Awards, the world premiere plays through October 18th at the Skylight Theater, and that is located at 1816 and a half North Vermont Avenue in Los Angeles. Tickets are only $34, and for reservations, simply go to skylighttix.com or call 213-761-7061.
I don't think so.
After 20 years of unwedded bliss, George and Albin, two men partnered for better or worse, get a bit of both when George's son, fathered during a one-night fling, announces his impending marriage to the daughter of a bigoted right-wing politician. Further complicating the situation is the family business. Albin and George run a drag nightclub in Saint-Tropez, where Albin is the star performer Zaza. George reluctantly agrees to masquerade as normal when he meets the family of the bride-to-be, but Albin has other plans with hilarious results. La Cage aux Folles plays through October 11th at the historic Spreckles Theater at 121 Broadway in San Diego. For tickets, visit SDMT, that stands for San Diego Musical Theater, .org.
And you know I'm going down to see that because my two friends are playing the lead. David Engel, who we've had on this
yes,
program.
Yes, who we've had on the show.
And Robert Townsend.
Really?
Who is married to the lovely Jill Townsend, and they are connected to the San Diego Musical Theater, and they just had their first child just within the last couple of months. Beautiful child.
It's a great, La Cage aux Folles is a great show.
Fantastic. David did it on Broadway.
It's the musical, it's not the stage
play. The musical,
play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those ones where it was like everything at one point. It was a film, and then it became, you know, stage play, and then a musical. And it's very, very clever.
Yes, indeed. So I'm excited to see my friends in that show because I love the show.
Speaking of friends, Michael, would you be kind enough to introduce our friend to my right, your left, who sat here so patiently listening in and chiming in?
It would be my pleasure, actually. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is making his debut at Cabrillo Music Theater. His past credits include Les Miserables at Musical Theater West in Long Beach, Nightmare Alley at the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood, Adding Machine, a musical at the Odyssey Theater in West Los Angeles. After Damn Yankees, he will head up to Palo Alto to perform in Emma, the musical, for the holiday season at TheaterWorks. A graduate of AMDA and UCLA, he also took second place in the LA's Next Great Stage Star competition in 2014. Please welcome my friend, Travis Leland.
Travis!
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back, Travis.
I'm wonderful. It's just way too hot outside, though, still. What's going on?
Yeah, it is. It's a little cooler today, though. Yeah. I usually am the first one to complain about it on this radio program. Usually, that's the first thing I say. What the hell? Right?
I'm going to have to use an expletive.
Okay.
I'm going to share what my father, when he moved to Phoenix, said.
Okay, well, do it in his voice, please.
My father is Italian, and my father moved to Phoenix, and everyone, he gets so tired of hearing... But it's the dry heat. You know, it's 160, but it's the dry heat. Now, you don't have the humidity you have back east. You see, it's the dry heat. And my father was like, yes, so is a fucking convection oven. Okay.
It's almost Christmas. You can't be.
I know. It's
like
Christmas.
Okay.
It's Christmas. So I'm sorry. I got to watch my language because we don't have that rating.
Your poor father.
My poor father. So how about you with Damn Yankees? Were you familiar with it being not new to the biz, but you are a younger person?
I'm a younger person. Yeah. Thank you. I saw it last year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
When
did 3D
perform?
Okay. My good friend Cameron Bond.
also from LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Is there anyone the same you year. Haven't fostered the
same
with that
year?
Thing?
The same year. Yeah. Came in.
All the greats. All the greats.
No, it's really unfortunate because I wanted to be in LA's Next Great Stage Star, and I had I had that obligation.
You should have come into audition for us.
I had a conflict.
Well, what was that?
I can't sing or dance.
Oh! Yes!
But,
So, yes.
I can wear a body stocking like no one's business.
You pulled that off way better than anyone. That's all right. It's all right. No, I saw the show at 3D and loved it. I think it's a great. I think it's a great piece of American musical theater.
It is,
you know?
And that was a very refreshed production of it as well. So yeah. it felt you know right.
Yeah, it holds up well too.
It's super it's well. Like when
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. As long as we're playing baseball in this country, I think it'll be relevant. You know,
very much so.
Enjoyable.
As long as there's a perpetual battle between good and evil.
And you've got the wonderful John Sloman playing.
He's
fun
so
fact
great.
About Mr. John Sloman. When I moved to LA 8 years ago, I started school at the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. Why are you laughing?
I just
What's
love
so funny?
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
I didn't mean rude, but I'm trying to find a fun fact sound. Like,
I think that boing you used earlier.
Sorry.
John Sloman was my first musical theater teacher. At AMDA when I moved out here.
Really?
Haven't seen him for years.
He's
and then all of a sudden we're doing the show together. And
and who does he play?
Applegate.
Lola. Applegate. Yeah, Applegate. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
He's Applegate. Yeah.
Great
guy.
A little intimidating to work with a former
No, kid? It's great. It's awesome because it's especially not having seen him for so long, you know, and we just sort of jump back into this. We pick up conversations we had years ago and talk about things that happened years ago and it's wonderful. It's really great.
Do you have we're talking about this show, but leading up to this, are there roles that are sort of in your because you know Renee mentioned that luckily enough she's performing a role that she's always wanted to. Are there sort of dream roles for you that you've really been sort of chomping at the bit to do?
There's a couple, and I have a little list on my computer, my note app on my computer.
Well, and also I see the tattoo makes it very convenient.
Yeah, it's a
too.
Checklist on my arm there. I'll have to cross one off after Joe Hardy here.
And that hurts.
another Joe I would love to play is Joe Gillis from Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, and which you would do very well.
Thank you.
That's what kind of put you in the
stage
top,
star.
Tier stage star.
That was a lot of fun.
You did songs from that?
I did Sunset Boulevard for my final performance final song. Second to final performance song.
Yeah.
I would love to play the Beast, Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
That'd be great. Any of the guys in Assassins would be amazing. I just saw a production of that with my good friend Nicholas Tubbs in it. I love that show. It's so good. The music's amazing. I mean, anything Sondheim would be a dream, honestly.
But it's also, it's got such teeth, too, because, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not the musical aficionado that Michael is. I enjoy musicals, but I don't know them as well as he does. But I like my stuff, my music and stuff to still have the stems and the seeds in it. I don't like it polished to death, and I that's one of the reasons I think. I mean, of course, it's Sondheim, so it's polished, but it's got teeth.
Yeah, it does. You definitely know. Does.
Teeth is radio for
you
balls.
You know, I've never ever. Yeah, I was going to say I never have heard you say that before, but
teeth's radio for balls. Yeah,
just say balls. That we can say.
Okay, we can. Yes, because we could mean any type.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Bocce balls. so those are that would be the creamed.
Those would be the couple. I could think of a couple more, but
What you, Travis, and Paul have in common is that Paul has been a professor of a teacher rather of theater at UCLA here this past semester.
I did not know that. That's amazing.
And that is where he graduated from
the extension program.
Exactly. Not
the,
still UCLA.
You know, but it was joyous, and I really loved it.
Awesome,
you know?
Clowning. Talk
yes,
about,
clowning and late night
geriatrics.
Artichoke stuffing. So few people could really stuff an artichoke. And I'm not speaking euphemisms.
That's the extension program for you right there. Yeah. Anything you can think of.
Yeah, the Discovery Center. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to teach juggling. I was going to teach juggling.
That's right. You do that.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I've never seen you do it. I'm just taking
You've
your
never
word.
Seen me do it?
No, I have
okay,
not.
Okay, I'll juggle on the radio. I'll juggle on the radio next week. It's just all you could say, Michael, oh, my God, five clubs. That's amazing.
Six, no,
that was just drop ship. I was sorry.
Careful.
No gesticulating.
You know what? I know. Sorry. You'll go blind.
Yes, exactly.
Before we forget, I don't want to interrupt Travis, but we did not. We usually throw this information out more frequently, and we did not tell people how to get tickets for Damn Yankee, so I just want to throw this out there very quickly.
Of course.
It opens Friday, October 16th, and runs through Sunday, October 25th. Important thing about Cabrillo, the shows always fill up because it's a very, very short run. So when you buy your tickets very, very soon, because when we did Mary Poppins, we had a lot of disappointed people in the last couple of performances. Yeah, well, performance Thursday at 7:30, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Saturdays and Sundays at 2. A post-show discussion with cast, staff, and audience will follow Saturday, October 17th, 2 p.m. performance. A signed performance for the deaf and hard of hearing will be on Friday, October 24th at 8 o'clock. And for tickets, you can go to CabrilloMusicTheater.com. Cabrillo Music Theater, and theater has the R-E spelling. Season tickets are available now, or you can call the box office, 800-745-3000, 800-745-3000. Word to the wise, it's a big theater, and you get a lot of 11th hour people going to that box office to pick up tickets. So don't go at 5 minutes to eight to pick up your tickets, or you will miss the curtain. Get there early.
Exactly.
Get
well
your
said.
Seats.
So, Travis, when did you... You're up from Northern California, right?
Yes, sir.
And when did you start realizing that you had talent and that you wanted to pursue this? And when was that?
Still not sure I got the talent.
I would have to disagree with you there.
Yes.
But,
I have just been doing this forever. And it honestly, genuinely started in, like, elementary school.
Right.
And doing little school
first
plays
role.
And
what was your first role?
George M. Cohan.
That was my first musical.
That was your first role?
No. Well, but I was
Mrs.
in the ensemble, and
she
I
was one of the great cross
Down by the Erie Canal.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
That was my first singing song.
Yeah, that was
same
great.
Show?
That, when I
same
did
show.
My when I did my one-man show at Sterling's last year, I opened with a Cohan medley.
Right, you did.
Sort of to pay homage to my roots, where I started. And,
no, I did a Cohan medley.
No, you
Sterling's.
Didn't.
I did, but it was Leonard Cohan, and it was a mass suicide. So we had to stop.
Oh, man.
Really? You did a one-person show at Sterling's?
Yeah,
you
last
did.
October, actually, just coming up on a year now. Yeah.
We didn't promote. We talked about it here, but we didn't have him on about that.
What were you on for before? I think it was
just right after
Stage
Star.
Stage Star.
Right after.
Yeah, so, well, he hadn't done the show right after Stage Star.
No. Oh, okay.
Shortly
after, So now, with what about straight plays? I mean, is it always been musical theater, or is it just acting in general?
Tons of straight plays, mostly in high school. I never got the exposure to it until I got to high school.
Okay.
Just from doing community theater, all musicals, you know, before that. And then you get into high school, and they're doing, like, Lanford Wilson plays. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Loved it. Absolutely opened up a whole different world for me. And then coming down to L.A., the film world opened up. And it's like every time I think I want to do something, something else opens itself up. And I want to explore that. And, it's always fascinating to see what comes about.
Is your family still up north?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where in Northern California?
San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous up there. Do you find that, and this is sort of a question for both of you, because you've all dabbled in all manner of performance. I always hate to ask this question because it sounds so like, which do you prefer? But there is just something.
You mean
something.
The sleeping with your clothes on or off?
No? Somewhere in the middle? Is that okay? Somewhere in between?
The immediacy of live theater, there's nothing that supplants that. It's just there's, you know, making a film or making a television show is far more technical, and it doesn't really have that juice and that energy.
Right.
How do you feel like, I mean, did you find that to be your experience, or could you just see yourself doing movies for the rest of your life?
I could see myself doing both.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I see myself down the line, my career, what I want to do, I want to make magic. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do that both in film and in theater. And maybe television, depending on what it is, you know. And
there's some great stuff actually coming up on television. I think we're in a big resurgence of really great.
Well, the cream,
it feels that way.
Netflix and that have made the cream rise to the top now.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of the way HBO shook up television years ago, and now it's just like, you know, you can't. I mean, you can. There's always going to be Drek out there, but I'm not so much hoping for the new stuff. I'm hoping for the diminishing of the reality shows
there you go.
And
yes.
just have that sort of go away.
Exactly.
So
yes.
effing
well, and they are so just what else can they possibly cover that they haven't to make mm-hmm. a reality
exactly.
show?
Exactly, exactly.
Even though I'm involved in, you know, one of them quietly, right? Right. You know that.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, I'm talking the mean spirited. I'm talking just the
exactly
right. The Bachelor,
exactly.
Yes.
But the subject matters are getting slim no. pickings yeah. kind of thing. Yeah. You know, from Atlanta Plastic. Have you seen
you guys.
That?
No.
What?
Renee has a great story to tell.
Because we're on the reality TV talk.
Yeah, okay. This was
which I do
pertinent.
Agree. I hope there is a resurgence of really great television, but. I am a fan of The Bachelor, and there I was yesterday driving on the 101 North, and I look in front of me, and I'm like, oh, this looks like a commercial going on. It was like these two beautiful people in a convertible, and this blonde with her hair blowing in the wind, and this handsome man, and I was like, oh, drive up next to them, and I'm like, he looks familiar. That's the new Bachelor, Ben, and then sure enough, I look ahead of the car, and there's a Jeep with the video cameras, so I was like, oh, my.
Oh my
Did
God!
You roll down your window and say, "I Bang!
Listen." If I wasn't, you know, in rehearsal wear and you know, I looked maybe a little bit nicer, I definitely would have peeked my head out the window to see if I made the episode.
And what she?
And
here's what she would have said:
"What in the fuck was that?"
That's what he would have said.
Right? Oh my God!
I literally witnessed one of their dates. I can't wait That's to watch so this new season.
Like,
now.
I was there.
I know. I'm like, I was right there.
I've heard this story four times.
He's heard it four times. He hears all of my stories four times now because we're together all the time.
We've hung out a mountain in the past week. God, I'm sick of you already.
No, he's not.
I worked with the first Bachelor, the very first Bachelor
what?
From the first episode. Yeah, because I'm friends with an actor named James Denton who was on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Mr.
And Jamie and I did shows in Chicago together, and then Jamie does this thing called The Band from TV, which is all people who are known for television shows but right. also musicians, and they do charitable efforts. So the guy from Heroes was on it. Hugh Laurie played piano for them. Jamie plays guitar, and all these different people.
Right.
And Jamie also, because he's doing quite well.
Yeah, I'd say.
Bought a baseball team. Bought a minor league baseball oh, wow. team.
Like
in,
you do.
In Fullerton, California.
You're on a big series for 9 years.
So when he bought the baseball team, they would do fundraisers there with the band from TV, and I warmed up the studio audience for the band from TV. And what was the reason for this story?
You reality. Worked with the first Bachelor.
Oh,
yes, and he was the vocalist in Band from TV. The first
oh,
Bachelor
wow.
was also Greg. I thought it was Greg something.
Chris. Who can remember?
Chris something.
That's his name, yeah.
The first Bachelor. Chris
I don't know.
Something.
I didn't watch it then.
That's not his name.
You
is,
didn't?
This has been a new addiction of
really?
Mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fairly
all right,
new.
Not to change the subject, because we all love The Bachelor. I just want to give a quick shout out. I want to give a quick shout out to our cast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially
we love you guys.
Jay Bailey, who is in the ensemble, one of the ball players. Texted me and said he's listening right now. So this is
Jay
for
Bailey.
You,
we love you.
We love you.
And Jay Bailey, what do you do, sir?
Wait, let's
what
no,
do
no.
You
let's
do
see
that they have giving you so much.
Oh, he's the man.
Wait, no.
He
let's see if he's BSing or not. If you're listening, call 323-203-0815.
Come
and
on, Jay.
If you're
come
listening,
on.
Call
we never
323-203-0815. And if it rings, I will pick up the phone and we'll see. And
all right, here we go.
Come on, Jay Bailey.
We'll see if he's really
just
as cool
if,
as we say.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Let's put a wager on this.
Will he
going to hear this in the
exactly.
archives thing
oh, exactly.
and realize the opportunity?
But the I mean, we're watching
once again,
the numbers.
323-203-0815. Let's see if he stuck with the broadcast.
I think
all
he's
the way
going. Think he did. We're watching some of the numbers.
Hello,
yesterday.
You've called State of the Arts. Who are we speaking
yeah!
to? Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Jay Bailey.
You won a brand new car.
Jay Bailey, I haven't met you, but I already love you because you are not a bullshitter, man.
No, he is not.
You said you were listening, and you were listening.
Yes.
And you met it.
That's right. They're my two favorite people on the planet right now.
Yeah. Oh, Jay Bailey, we love you.
Jay Bailey, what is your role in Damn Yankees?
I play Smokey. I'm
yep.
a catcher on the baseball team.
Awesome.
He's hilarious.
Yes.
Yep.
And so these two hooligans in the studio with us today, they don't give you a bad time? Are you having to corral them?
Well, you know, Travis is rude, and that's just how it is, and that's fine. No. They're both such amazing people, and they've made it a really great experience. This is actually my first show out in L.A., so it's been pretty great. I just moved from Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Woo.
Him and Dorothy.
Yeah.
Him and Dorothy moved out from Kansas. Well, good for you. Welcome to Los Angeles, and welcome to one of the great regional theaters here in the Los Angeles area, out there in Thousand Oaks. Beautiful Fred Cavalli Theater, and as Paul said, one of the largest regional theaters we have. Actually, it is the largest theater between San Francisco and Thousand Oaks.
Yes.
Really?
And if you go across the street to Mastro's and have a co-signer, you can have dinner.
That's exactly. Yes, exactly.
But thank you so much for chiming in. That's hysterical. I can't believe you called. It's just great.
I appreciate that. I'm going to hang up so I can keep listening.
All right.
Bye, Jay. See you later.
Bye, guys. See you tonight.
Hysterical.
How terrific is that?
We have such a great cast. I mean, truly. We've been watching the numbers.
And we are cracking up.
Like yesterday we did act two, and you know, because we all rehearse separately, sometimes we don't get to see the numbers, and we were just like, "What?" Like screaming after the number finished. It's just a really, really committed cast of just all great people, and that always makes a huge difference.
And the vibe that Cabrillo creates.
Oh yeah, it's a family. Yeah. That's it.
It reminds me of what Michael, you're always saying about 3D theatricals, and how it's such a familial effort.
Yes, it is indeed.
So wonderful. Any other people come to mind quickly that you can talk about? Cast members you were talking about, John Sloman. We mentioned. Do we mention John Sloman?
Yes, we did.
We mentioned John Sloman.
Sarah.
Yeah, the Meg.
Sarah Tattersall.
Incredibly talented. So sweet, just wonderful. My co-star here, Renee. I mean, she's like, I haven't done a lot of partnering dancing, right? And we're doing a good amount of it in this show.
Yeah.
For me, anyways, good amount.
No, there
and,
is.
And I, you know, I've been struggling a little bit, but she's been so patient. Even when I've dropped her, she's been so patient.
He's doing so great. I mean, he's truly never done this type of dance work before, so of course I'm going to be patient. I mean, it's hard work, and you know, I'm very trusting of him, and I know it's all going to be great, but you know, you need to have, we're partners, you know, so you have to have someone, you know, that's supporting you in every endeavor. So he's doing great. I mean, just after a week, it's like
Is the dancing especially difficult? Because I know that
John Todd is no joke. We love John. He's amazing.
You've got a couple of things to be. You have to be snazzy with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So one more time, we're going to tell them about tickets, and then we need to. I've got that.
Okay.
And we're going to then.
Then we'll baptize them.
Absolutely. So one more time, ladies and gentlemen, it opens Damn Yankees Friday, October 16th, and runs through Sunday, October 25th. And you can purchase tickets online at CabrilloMusicTheater.com, or you can certainly visit the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza box office. And that number for Ticketmaster or by phone is 800-745-3000. But as Paul said, if you're going to walk up to the theater and you have tickets waiting and will call, you better get there early, because there's always quite a line of very excited people wanting to get in and see the show. So don't be of that mentality, which is so common in Los Angeles, of hurry up and wait. Get your tickets early, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we've come to this.
We only have 3 minutes, though. Right. I want to stress that. So, but you all know.
Yep.
The baptism of each of you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, Paul,
yep.
The most awkward moments that you can think of in your life as a performer, be it on the stage, in motion pictures, on television. Funny,
most awkward. Okay, I got a quick one. I've been thinking about it for a little while. It's recent too. Last time I said something about when I was in high school. This one was this year in Les Miserables down at Musical Theater West. We all had a bunch of wigs and a bunch of hats and a bunch of things on. Our opening night performance. Okay, we're on the barricade. I'm one of the students, and we all die in this slow motion death. But I rocked my head back just a little too forceful, and my wig went flying off. So I die in slow motion.
Right,
so I die in slow motion with just my wig cap on, and I'm positive it looks like the most.
And everyone looks good in just a wig cap.
Exactly, right? Yeah, exactly. So that was. And then I had
empty heads at empty tables.
I had to figure out where the hell the wig flew off to. Somebody was running across stage with it. It was ridiculous.
Nice going, Trav.
I was so into it. You
wig
know?
Stories.
Renee?
Okay, so this one comes from my first professional gig on the national tour of Cats. I was a swing covering six cats. I went on for the White Cat my first night. I'm in the head-to-toe costume, 10 pounds of makeup, and, you know, you're sweating before you even step foot on stage. So I step foot on stage, and I'm dripping, and I do the opening number, and here we are in the middle of Act One, and my sweet friend Jessica, who plays Syllabub, the youngest kitten, amazing girl, mouth of a truck driver, crawls up to me, and she looks at me and says, "Where the bleep is your nose?" She used the F word.
Okay.
And I said, "Huh?" She goes, "You sweated your nose off." So there I was on stage with just my white hair and the full white costume and no makeup.
You looked like Rudolph.
I did.
I can't do my work.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Oh,
I just love this stuff.
This is only
you
in
can
this
you
business.
Start this backstage at a show.
Oh,
you start it,
oh,
this going,
absolutely.
And you yeah. could kill
oh.
three,
absolutely.
You know, yeah. we have how many shows, Michael? 300, 400 shows. We have to compile all of these.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And
put
yeah.
them together.
Not 400, but we're heading into the 300 mark.
We're heading into the 300?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Cause it's
400 for Paul.
400 for me. Mm. Well, yeah. Seems like.
There you go.
Yeah. What a pleasure having both of you on. This
Thank
was just
you
a blast.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For doing this on your on a day that I'm sure you're going right to rehearsal, right? From here?
Yep.
Pretty soon. There you
yep.
go. Mm-hmm. Good old Lewis.
Yes.
And we also want to thank, would you thank the gentleman who called in?
Jay Bailey.
Jay Bailey.
You're a star.
And once again, tickets, CabrilloMusicTheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling, and can't recommend the Cabrillo shows enough. And I know this personally from having done a show there and seeing all that what they put into it. Michael's seen just about everything that yep. they've done, so he can attest to it too. But bring the whole fam-damly. And see it.
It's a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Paul, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. See you next week.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.